Esha, this, nunam, certainly, brajati, going, urdvam, upward, anu, following, vainyam, the son of Vena, patim, husband, sati, chaste, Pasyata, just see. Asman, us. Atitya, overpassing. Archi, of the name Archi. Durvi, Bhavyena, inconceivable. Karmana, activities. Translation. The wives of the demigods continued, just see how this chaste lady, Archi, by dint of her inconceivable pious activities, is still following her husband upward as far as we can see. Prabhupada's purport. Both Prithi Maharaj's airplane and the airplane carrying Queen Archi were passing out of the vision of the ladies of the higher planetary systems. These ladies were simply astonished to see how Prithi Maharaj and his wife achieved such an exalted position. Although they were the wives of the denizens of the higher planetary system, and Prithi Maharaj was an inhabitant of an inferior planetary system, meaning the earth, the king, along with his wife, passed beyond the realms of the demigods and went upward to Vaikuntha. The word urdvam, upward, is significant here, for the ladies speaking were from the higher planetary systems, which include the moon, the sun, and Venus, up to Brahmaloka, or the highest planet. Beyond Brahmaloka is the spiritual sky, and in that spiritual sky there are innumerable Vaikuntha lokas. Thus the word urdvam indicates that the Vaikuntha planets are beyond or above these material planets. And it was to these Vaikuntha planets that Prithi Maharaj and his wife were going. This also indicates that when Prithi Maharaj and his wife Archi abandoned their material bodies in the material fire, they immediately developed their spiritual bodies and entered into the spiritual airplanes, which could penetrate the material elements and reach to the spiritual sky. Since they were carried by two different airplanes, it may be concluded that even after being burned in the funeral pyre, they remained separate, individual persons. In other words, they never lost their identity or became void as imagined by impersonalists. The ladies in the higher planetary systems were capable of seeing both downward and upward. When they looked down, they could see that the body of Prithi Maharaj was being burned and that his wife Archi was entering into the fire. And when they looked upward, they could see how they were being carried in two airplanes to the Vaikuntha lokas. All of this was possible simply by Durvi Bhavyena Karmana, inconceivable activity. Prithi Maharaj was a pure devotee, and his wife, Queen Archi, simply followed her husband. Thus they can both be considered pure devotees, and thus they are capable of performing inconceivable activities. Such activities are not possible for ordinary men. Indeed, ordinary men cannot even take to devotional service to the Lord, nor can ordinary women maintain such vows of chastity and follow their husbands in all respects. A woman does not need to attain high qualification. But if she simply follows in the footsteps of her husband, who must be a devotee, then both husband and wife attain liberation and are promoted to Vaikuntha Loka. This is evinced by the inconceivable activities of Prithu Maharaj and his wife. So this verse clearly states that Queen Archi, the wife of Prithu Maharaj, attained the goal of life by dint of her pious activities. But of course, as Prabhupada would do, we have to clarify that those pious activities didn't mean mundane pious activities, but they actually mean the auspicious activities of devotional service. For no one has ever attained the kingdom of God, either Vaikuntha Loka or the topmost planet in the spiritual world, Goloka Vrindavan, by dint of pious activities. Pious activities can take you as far as Svargaloka, but that is still within the realm of material existence. You can't penetrate into the spiritual realm by dint of pious activity. One can only go back home, back to Godhead, through the process of devotional service. Krishna states that very clearly in his own words in Bhagavad Gita, bhaktimam abhijananti yavanyas chasmi tatvataha tatamam tatavo jantva vishite tadanantaram, that one can understand me as I am, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, only by the process of devotional service. And when one is in full consciousness of me by such devotion, which means that practically one has awoken one's prem bhakti, one has awoken fully one's love for the Supreme, for Krishna, then Krishna says one can enter into the kingdom of God. So how did Mother Archie develop that pure love, which qualified her, along with her husband, to enter into the spiritual sky? Prabhupada describes very clearly by her chastity, by her devotion to her husband, and her good fortune, or the good fortune of any woman, is if her husband is a devotee, because that is the process. Krishna says, one who says he's my devotee, he's not my devotee, but one who says he's the devotee of my devotee, he's my devotee. We develop our devotional service in the association of the Lord's loving servitors. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has stated, and we've said many times because it's an important point, that devotional service, the mood of bhakti, love for the Supreme, it's something that's imbibed from other devotees. Prabhupada said one time, you take on the qualities of that with which you associate. So if you associate with mundane people, then naturally you develop mundane qualities and mundane sentiments and mundane emotions. But if you choose to associate with devotees of the Lord, irregardless of how fallen you are, how contaminated you are by this material energy, you will gradually develop all the good qualities of the devotees. You'll develop all the good qualities of the devotees. Now, Queen Archie, she had the advantage of awakening her love for God because her husband was no ordinary king. We say King Prithu. But as you know, because you've been studying this chapter for perhaps many weeks or even months now, Prithu Maharaj is described as a Shaktavesha avatar. He's a jiva, but he's particularly empowered by the Lord for a particular purpose. Sometimes the Lord, he comes himself, often he comes himself, in fact, very often he comes himself, he's so kind. Prabhupada said, the incarnations of the Lord are as innumerable as the waves of the ocean. Here in Gujarat, you have the ocean. You go down to and sit on the banks there, and perhaps Dwarka, and you see the waves are coming, and they never stop. They're innumerable. You can count them, and you can never come to the end. So the incarnations of the Lord are innumerable, but one type of incarnation is the Shaktavesha avatar, where the Lord picks a particular jiva, a particular soul, to represent him. He has his purposes in doing so. Sometimes he takes more pleasure in his devotee being glorified than he himself being glorified. This is the nature of love, that the lover wants to glorify his beloved or her beloved more than himself or herself. It's the natural nature of love. So sometimes Krishna wants to glorify his devotee by empowering his devotee to do his own work, because God work, it's acknowledged beyond anyone else's work. What God does, that's history. What we do, our history comes and goes, but What Krishna has done, it's still famous here in India. He performed his activities 5,000, 5 million, 5 trillion years ago. People are still speaking about God's activities, at least here in India. So the Lord empowered Prithvi Maharaj for the purpose of, Prabhupada says later on in the Bhagavatam I was reading, he was an administrator. He was a king, very important position in Vedic culture. The king. The king is meant to ensure that the praja or the population have all opportunities for material facility and spiritual liberation. A very important person. We don't see any real kings or leaders in modern day society. But such kings are also glorified. Kings like Yudhishthir, Parikshit. Prahlad Maharaj was also eventually a great king. So her chastity to such an exalted soul, her full faith in, her surrender, her willingness to serve her husband, who was an empowered devotee of the Lord, that allowed her to develop the most essential quality for going back home, back to God, in love of God. Now, when this her love fully matured, along with her husband, and they left their bodies, an astonishing thing happened, that they were carried back to the spiritual world in flower airplanes, in their spiritual bodies. Prabhupada said that the pure devotee, as soon as his so-called material body is finished, because it's not considered a material body, when a pure devotee inhabits a material body by dint of his devotion, that body also becomes spiritual. Therefore, traditionally, the spiritual master his body is not cremated like we do generally. His body is placed in samadhi. But when Prithvi Maharaj and Archie left their material bodies, they were being burned in the fire, as was the tradition then. But the denizens of heaven, the ladies on the heavenly planets, they could see that they were ascending in their spiritual bodies back to the spiritual world. And they were very amazed. They were very elevated. Prabhupada mentions this. It's an interesting point in the purport that these ladies were so elevated, they could see what was happening on the lower planetary systems, and simultaneously they could see what was happening on higher planetary systems beyond even their elevated position. These are how elevated these personalities are. What can we see? We can't even see 300 meters down the road. We need binoculars to go further and telescopes, and even then, how far can we see? But these women were so advanced by dint of their pious activities in previous lives, they elevated themselves to Svargaloka. This is what they were seeing. They could see what was happening here on Earth, and they could see what was happening on higher planets. The highest planet in Svargaloka is Brahmaloka. From there, the residents of Brahmaloka, when they become elevated, they go to Vaikuntha. There's no higher planet than Brahmaloka. So when you're elevated from Brahmaloka, you go to Vaikuntha Loka. So they could see all these things happening. But they couldn't understand how it was this lady from Earth was so easily surpassing them and going to even higher regions. They knew how hard it is to get to Svargaloka. How can an earthling just cruise past Svargaloka to higher planetary systems and go to Vaikuntha Loka? They knew, because how do you get to Svargaloka? By dint of pious activities like feeding the poor, building hospitals, schools, distributing clothing and other material necessities to the needy, and following various rituals mentioned in the Vedas. It's not easy to get there. They had done that and they got there. So they're wondering, how is this earthling surpassing us? They knew. They had followed the rules and regulations mentioned in the Vedas, and they got to Svargaloka. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that those who study the Vedas and drink the soma juice, seeking the heavenly planets, worship me indirectly. purified of sinful reactions, they take birth on the pious heavenly planets of Indra, where they enjoy godly delights. You don't just get there by wishing. So they didn't see that Archie was, you know, doing this pious activity which they themselves had done to get to Svargaloka. Here it is, this queen who was surrounded by all types of opulence and luxuries, cruising past the demigods to Vaikuntha. They're wondering, how is this possible? The devotee knows it's possible by power, by dint of the inconceivable power of devotional service, the results of which are higher than ordinary pious activities. These ladies of the heavenly planets were not perhaps aware of this potency of devotional service, pure devotional service, to elevate one beyond Svargaloka and enter into the kingdom of God. Why? Because, well, they're devotees, of course, but they're not pure devotees. If they were pure devotees, they wouldn't be in Svargaloka. They would be in the kingdom of God. One time a devotee glorified Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya, you're such a great devotee. And Lord Chaitanya replied, no, if I was a devotee, I wouldn't be here. I'd be there. I'd be in Vaikuntha. I'd be in Goloka. This is not the residence of pure devotees. Pure devotional service is so powerful. But these ladies had not experienced that because they were Prakriti Bhaktas. They were devotees of Krishna. They worshipped Vishnu. But their devotion was mixed with some selfish material desires. That's demigods. Demigods are demigods. They're pious. They're devotees. They worship Krishna, but they still have some interest in this material world. So they go high, but they don't go to the highest planet. The result of that type of devotional service can take you to elevate you to Svargaloka, but you can't go beyond. Just like Prabhupada wrote in his posthumous letter to Jayananda Prabhu, my godbrother, who left his body very early in the history of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Prabhupada appreciated his service, his devotional service. He said, you know, you were, as a young man, you came and you gave me $5,000, which was your lifetime savings, and with that I printed the Krishna book. So I am very grateful. He said, I'm very proud to have a disciple like you who was so surrendered. He said, but if upon dying you had any amount of material desires, then you've gone to Svargaloka, where you can fulfill those desires, but there on Svargaloka you can continue with your devotional service and advance to the region of Vaikuntha. So if you have mixed desires, material desires and devotional desires, then you go to the heavenly planets and there you do your devotional service. Not here in this crummy earth. This is not a very nice place compared to Svargaloka. Birth, death, disease, old age, these things are practically conspicuous by their absence in the heavenly world. But they're there. This crummy earth doesn't compare that. So Krishna's very kind for one who takes up the process of devotional service, purifies his heart, awakens some bhakti, not to take birth again on the earth. He goes to Svargaloka, and in that pleasant atmosphere, he somehow or other, by good association, purifies and then goes to Vaikuntha. But pure devotional service means immediately the devotee is transferred to the spiritual world. So that type of devotion we are interested in. We're not interested in mixed devotion. We're not happy that we started the process of devotional service. We're not complacent. Yes, I'm a devotee. I'm doing some devotional service. I'm following two principles. I'm vegetarian and I don't gamble. You know, that. No. Devotee is very strict. He's very serious. He's very intent on getting back home, back to Godhead. Because he knows only that devotion will take him to Vaikuntha and to Goloka. He wants to go beyond the first half of devotional service. What is the first half? Ado Shraddha Tata Sadhu Sangha Tabajana Kriya Anartanavriti Siyad. that he develops a little faith in the association of devotees. Yes, this is very nice. Let me try this process. He begins practicing. He becomes steady. He takes initiation. He executes the principles of devotional service. He becomes free from unwanted habits. And the anarthas, the unwanted things, are cleansed from his heart. But more important than that is tatao nishta vichish tata atashatis tato bhavas tata prima bhu danchati padur bhave bhavet krama. This is for Sri Prahlad. Because Prahlad said he knows, he often quotes adoshvadat tata sadasam because he heard it from me so many times. But he said, Gurudev, there's a second part to that verse. You never... So it's true. After the heart is cleansed, then the prem bhakti has a... Then that cleansed environment, that healthy environment, the healthy seed of devotion can grow. That's the real thing. Tato nishta ruchish tata atashaktis tato bhavas. Tata prem bhu danchati sadakana mayam prem na padur bhave bhavet karma. In the beginning, there must be a little faith. Then one becomes interested in associating with pure devotees. Thereafter, one is initiated by the spiritual master and executes the regulative principles under his orders. That's what we're doing now. Thus, one becomes free from unwanted habits, and one becomes firmly fixed in devotional service. But then the exciting part starts. Then real life begins. Thereafter, one develops taste for chanting, taste for hearing the glories of Vrindavan brought in Krishna's pastime, taste for residing in the Dham, taste for serving the spiritual master's mission of distributing Krishna consciousness all over the world. That is the way of sadhan bhakti, the execution of devotional service according to regular principles. Then gradually, spiritual emotions intensify. And finally, there's an awakening of love. This is the gradual development of love of Godhead for the devotee interested in Krishna consciousness. So this was Mother Archie. She had gone beyond the first half of that verse, and she had entered into and perfected the second stage of devotional service. This is what we're hankering for. And this is what qualified her, although she was an earthling, to go to the spiritual world. And all that is embodied, that process is embodied in the simple, sublime process of chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. The chanting of Hare Krishna is the beginning, intermediate, and advanced stage of devotional service. All the way in Vaikuntha Loka and Goloka, gopis are chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Stated in the Nisringa Purana, that upon chanting, purely chanting the holy name of the Lord, the residents of hell ascended to Vaikuntha Loka. So there's so many things we have to do, so many rules and regulations, but the most important is to develop, awaken our love for the holy name, pure chanting of the holy name. So you could say those ladies in Vaikuntha, in Swarga, they were struggling through the first half, so they couldn't understand the benefits of that Queen Archie had achieved by perfecting her devotional service and going back home, back to Godhead. Another important point is that such devotion, such pure devotion, attracts Krishna. And when Krishna sees such a sincere devotee attempting to achieve the highest goal of pure devotion, Krishna helps such a devotee attain that goal. Archie went from the earthly realm past the Swarga Loka into Vaikuntha with Krishna's help. Krishna responds to one's devotional service. Krishna says, all of them as they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. So we should be careful what we pray for in Krishna consciousness. If one wants material pleasure, Krishna will facilitate that. If one wants mixed material and spiritual, Krishna will facilitate that. But if one's only goal is pure devotional service, Krishna will facilitate that. How is it Archie, a simple lady, achieved the kingdom of God far beyond the realm of the demigods? Because she wanted Krishna and Krishna's devotional service only. She wasn't interested in any material benefit. Many times people come to the temple, we have to understand, we're trained otherwise, but we were recently in South India, and a couple of times I asked people, what are you praying for in front of this beautiful deity of Janardhan, Krishna, in front of this beautiful deity of Padmanabha, in front of this beautiful deity of Adi Keshava? Oh, I am praying for my husband will get better from his sickness. We need money to pay the rent. And of course Krishna will, they're Krishna's devotees, they believe in Krishna, they're Vaishnavas, but so on. The Prabhupada said, what is the use of going to a millionaire and asking for $100? If you're a poor man, $100 sounds like a lot, but if you're with a millionaire, ask for a million. Or ask a billionaire for a million, or a billion. So in front of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who can fulfill all desires, we're not interested in fulfilling our material desires. We have so much experience, how no matter how much material opulence we have, we're still not satisfied. So let's use our intelligence. Krishna says, one who worships, who reads this Gita, which describes the process of devotional service, worships me with his intelligence. At least with our intelligence. We may have strong material desires, but with our intelligence, don't ask Krishna for something, anything less than pure devotional service. Krishna's, it's not charged. Krishna says, Yanti deva vata devan pitrin yanti pitri vata bhutani yanti bhuteja yanti majano pimam. Very important verse. Those who worship the demigods will take birth amongst the demigods. Those who worship the ancestors, they go to the ancestors. Those who worship ghosts and spirits will take birth amongst such beings. And those who worship me will live with me. One might wonder how one would worship a ghost or a spirit. People are afraid of bhutas and pishachas and witches and things like that. But they're powerful beings. They can control your mind. They can come into your body and control you and do what they want through your body. They have powers. So because they have powers, people worship them for powers. When we were in... where were we? Was it Bhutan, I think? Or where was I? Manipur or somewhere I was. We were driving along and we passed a tree where the local villagers had made an image in the tree of a ghost. And it was spooky. We drove by and my hair stood on end, not because of devotion to Krishna, because I was scared. Just driving past this place where people worship ghosts. And we passed several trees like that during my travels there. I can't remember where it was. I can picture it very clearly in my mind. But the villagers, I actually stopped the car and I asked the villagers what that was. I had the driver stop. Well, we worship the ghost and the spirits. And because they worship them, the ghosts and spirits give them some something, whatever. So, but Krishna says, those who worship me will come to me. If you worship in the mood of pure devotion. And Krishna will facilitate such devotees. He'll help them. Prabhupada said this is the advantage that devotees have over all their classes of transcendentalists. Other classes of transcendentalists, they achieve their exalted positions by dint of their own penance and austerity and study and whatever. But a devotee has the extra added advantage that with God on our side, many times people, they claim that, you know, we were victorious because God was on our side. But devotees can actually say that, pure devotees. Because Krishna facilitates his devotee. Prabhupada said, like the how the monkeys, the mother monkey and the mother cats carry their young. The monkeys, the baby monkeys, they cling on. By nature's way, they're agile and kind of strong, even as babies. But you see, they cling on to the back of mother monkey. And sometimes, when the mothers are jumping, monkeys fall off. But the cat, she carries her kittens by grabbing that kitten, you know, baby kitten, by the scruff of the neck and carrying it to wherever they're going next. And that's much more sure and safe because she's very strong. And it's not by the strength of the baby cat that he gets from A to B, but by the mercy of the mother. So Krishna also takes responsibility, you could say, to deliver his devotee who renders service in the mood of pure devotion. Tesham maham samudharta mritu shamshara sagarat bhavami na chirat partha maya aveshita chetusham. Krishna says, I always loved this verse. But those who worship me, giving up all their activities unto me, and being devoted to me without deviation, engaged in devotional service, and always meditating upon me, having fixed their minds upon me, O son of Pritha, for them, I am the swift deliverer from the ocean of birth and death. So this is the advantage a devotee has, that the Lord facilitates his desire. He helps his devotee in so many ways to achieve the highest destination. And we must note also in that context that the same principle holds true for the spiritual master, who is essentially the Lord's representative, his empowered representative in the spiritual, in the material world. The Lord is not always present. Of course, he's present everywhere by his energies, but personally he may come to this world, but he may leave. But by his grace, his representative, the spiritual master, is present within this world. Now by Prabhupada's mercy throughout the entire world. And if we are also chaste to and loyal to the spiritual master, he also takes responsibility for our deliverance. He also facilitates us in so many various ways. If we're chaste to his words, to his instructions, to his mission, to our vows, he also oversees our progress in devotional service. This is made very clear by Śrīla Prabhupāda's commentaries on the pastime of Narada Muni delivering the hunter. You know that pastime. I won't go into great detail, but there was a hunter who half-killed animals. He said, what is wrong? I learned this from my father. It's a family tradition. And he would not only kill the animals, but he enjoyed half-killing the animals, like torture. So Narada Muni, in his travels, he came across this fellow, and he became compassionate. Why? Because that's the heart of a Vaishnava. He feels compassion for the fallen condition of others. It's his exalted characteristic, his compassion for others. So he took some compassion on this hunter, and he preached to him for a while. The hunter couldn't understand because he's Atmahana. He's killer of the soul. Of course, you can't kill the soul, but if you eat meat or you engage in that process of killing animals like that, then you kill your chances for self-realization, the soul's real life of devotion to the Lord. That's killed if you engage in that inauspicious activity. So because Magrari was a hunter and a meat eater, he couldn't understand even the basic philosophy of Krishna consciousness. Like, you're not this body, your spirit, soul, aham brahmasmi. What to speak about God, our relationship with God. Many times we preach in a very logical way. People like, duh. They can't get it. Why? Because they're so sinful. Atmana. They've killed the soul's chances for real life, for spiritual life, because of their addiction to sinful activity. So one of the first qualifications for becoming Krishna conscious, for understanding the philosophy, is to stop sinful activity. You promise your spiritual master, no more sinful activity, Krishna consciousness. Then you can begin to understand. He couldn't understand, so Narada Muni became even more merciful. He just waved his hand, and the hunter had a vision. He's not qualified to have a vision, but by the mercy of the guru who facilitated his devotional service, he saw all the animals that he had killed previously coming at him for revenge. He said, whoa, this is a big mistake. What should I do, Guru Maharaj? Chant. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram. Because besides bestowing prema or love of God, which is the highest goal of chanting, there's some side benefits of chanting. You get freed from karma. Material desires in your heart are subdued, purified. So he immediately took up the life of a devotee. And Narada said to the hunter, it's described in the Madhya Lila chapter 24. Narada kahe, yadi dara amara bhachana, tabe se kariti pari tomara mochana. Quote, Narada Muni assured the hunter, if you listen to my instructions, I shall find the way that you can be liberated. Of course, it's not that the spiritual master, you know, after initiation, which is our deliverance is assured. He just grabs our by our seat and takes us back to the spiritual world. No, but he's like the teacher. The teacher's duty is to show the student what to study and how to perform that activity so that one can achieve perfection. He's like the coach, like the guide. He's always, if we go off, he's always redirecting. No, like this. So in that way, it's the combined effort of the attempt of the disciple and the directions of the spiritual master that help us reach perfection. So, nara kahi yadi dhara mara vachana tabe se kariti pari tumara mochana. If you listen to my instructions, if I see you're sincere, I shall find ways by which I'll direct you in ways you can be liberated. Go here, go there, don't do this, do that, every step of the way. Just like the father takes the hand of the boy or the daughter and guides them. Of course, ultimately, it's up to us. Krishna, at the end of Gita, he says to Arjuna, I've explained all this knowledge to you. Now, it's up to you. If you want to follow that knowledge, but if you don't follow according to your false ego, then you're lost. So don't do something stupid. Just continue to follow my instructions. So in the purport, Prabhupada says something very interesting. And I quote, he writes, this is the secret of success. If one has unflinching faith in Krishna and the spiritual master, the result is that all the conclusions of revealed scriptures will be open to such a person. A pure devotee of Krishna can make the same demands that Narada Muni is making. He says to his disciple, if you follow my instructions, I shall take responsibility for your liberation. Just like one time, Tamal Krishna Maharaj was complaining. Not complaining, but he was revealing his mind. He was in Vrindavan, the birthplace of Krishna, the land of Krishna's leelas. And he was in charge at that time of the construction of the Krishna Balaram Mandir. Now we see it, and it's functioning, it's all very, but it was a difficult road to getting the property and constructing that temple and, you know, so forth, and the contractors cheating and the cement being inferior quality and mosquitoes and the bugs and the dysentery. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj said to Prabhupada that, I'm in the land of Krishna, where the pastimes are still going on, unmanifested. But I can't think of Krishna for even a moment. I'm so busy with bank transfers and measurements and the construction and making sure we don't get cheated and and the quality of the cement and, you know, the timing. And I don't even think of Krishna. I'm just thinking of the service. And Prabhupada replied, that's okay. You just keep on working like this and Lord Chaitanya will incarnate in your mind at the moment of death and take you back to Godhead. So we're doing the same work, Prabhupada's work, maybe big or small, but it's the same work. And Our future will be very bright. Prabhupada will continue to engage us. His representatives will continue to engage us, and the result can only be auspicious. Even if we don't make it back to Godhead in this lifetime, because that's very rare. Vasudeva Sarvamiti Samahatma Sadrulabha, Krishna said, after many, many lifetimes, my devotee, who comes to the point of full understanding him, he achieves the kingdom of God. But even if we're not so fortunate as Queen Archie to achieve that, well, there's nothing to lament. Recently, a disciple asked me, how do we determine where a devotee goes when he dies? I replied, we can't speculate. But certainly every devotee's destination is auspicious according to their level of service and realization in Krishna consciousness. To begin with, Srila Prabhupada said that he mentioned several times, even if one performs the smallest devotional service, agyat-sukriti means unknowing devotional service, that guarantees one at least a human birth. Even if someone just unknowingly offers something to the deity, gives a contribution to the movement, takes some prasadam, that's also devotional service. It's unknowing, agyat-sukriti, but the result is you get another human birth, and from that human birth you begin from the point you left off. You give another donation. You get more prasadam. You get more association. To get a human form of life in and of itself is no small thing. Durlabham, Govinda Das says in his prayers. It's durlabham. It's very, very rare. You just take some mathematical calculation right now. How many living entities are in this temple room? There's 50 of us humans, and there's practically, you could say, billions and billions and trillions of other living entities. There's a few birds here, some mice maybe underneath here or there, but there's bacteria, there's fire, there's all kinds of little insects in here. Durlabham. We're the minority, we're the small. So to get that birth whereby one can become Krishna conscious, it's very rare. Even the smallest amount of devotional guarantees you that. So that's something. But if one takes the devotional service in earnest, as we've all done, then Krishna says about the unsuccessful yogi that number one, he'll go to the higher planets, or number two, he'll take birth in a family of pious people, number three, he'll take birth in a royal family, number four, he'll take birth in a family of transcendentalists. Krishna says, verily such a birth is rare. And sometimes a devotee, even an ISKCON devotee, may go back to Godhead. Prabhupada said, Jayananda, he said, because you were hearing the chanting of Hare Krishna, the moment of death, he says, I say you've gone to Krishna Loka. So all those options are acceptable. So any of those options is far superior to the fate of a non-devotee whose next birth is based on his karma. So anything we do in devotional service is auspicious under the direction of the spiritual master. Because to take birth according to one's karma is very risky. Krishna says, Gahana Kamano Gati, Bhagavad Gita 4:17. The intricacies of karma are very difficult to understand. Kavayopi Atra Mohita. Even the intelligent are bewildered in trying to understand karma. So you can't determine what your birth will be by material activity. But you get some idea by the process of devotional service. It will be auspicious. It's all forward march, the forward march of home back to Godhead. So we're very fortunate that the Spirit, that the Lord or His representative have taken responsibility for our, just like you take responsibility for your children. They have their independent nature, but you've taken responsibility. And if you have good parents, if you have good teacher, good king, you're lucky. So we're the most lucky because we're serving under the Supreme Lord whose intention is to take us all the way back to Goloka Vrindavan. We're serving under the direction of the spiritual master who has no interest in benedicting us with anything material. His goal is ultimately to get us back home, back to the groves of Vrindavan, to serve intimately the divine couple, Radha and Krishna. So in the infancy of our spiritual life, we don't necessarily understand how he's doing that, but he's doing that. And we can be assured that one day, under his direction, we will achieve the exalted goal that Archie achieved by the mercy of the Lord and her pure devotee husband, Maharaj Prithu. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Gaur Premanandi Hare Krishna.